Lord, I want to thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for every single person that's in this room or watching online. Lord, I pray that you'd anoint my mouth. It'd be like fiery arrows hitting people's hearts. Lord, so we could publicly burn for you wherever we go. Every lampshade that is over top of us, Father, I pray that you burn it off today. You'd crush it. Lord, here we are. Use us. Use us to impact this nation and the world with your glorious gospel. Amen? Amen. And amen. Hey, so good to be here. Hey, people online, how you going? Wes and Janet are probably watching. I'm going to do my best. We should be all right. Just relax. I've done this a couple of times now. I was in Australia. If we could just tune me down a wee bit, that'd be awesome. I was in Aussie a few weeks ago and went over to speak at an evangelism school for 4 days and then got locked down, and it ended up, the 4 day trip turned into a 15 day trip. It was full on, man. It was scary because I actually didn't know when I was going to get home. And when you've got four beautiful kids and a wonderful wife, that's pretty full on. It was incredibly expensive, but I'm here. And I'm not going back to Aussie this year. No way. Absolutely no way. We've been cancelling. It's not happening. Because I don't want to save the world and lose my family. They're my priority. And it's so good that I got my beautiful Breezy here today. Love you. So I'll just give you a bit of an update to what we're doing. The Harvest Now Evangelism Schools, Andrew Cannon and myself, we've been working on them now for a year and a half. Every single Wednesday, and now it's Tuesday nights, we have a Zoom meeting. We've got a team. We've got a trust, charitable trust for Harvest Now. We've had to postpone the first school that we were going to do in Tauranga this year because we couldn't get Eric Gilmore and Andrew in the country. So our first school is going to be mid-next year in London. And then after London, we've got one in Tauranga, which is the 20th of July. It's going to be amazing. These four-day schools will rock your world. So you need to come. And then we've got another couple in... One in Aussie, another one in the UK, and then we're going to do one in Christchurch at the end of next year. So it's going to be powerful. It's going to be a powerful time. I'm really excited. And Global Gospel is going very well, thank you. We're doing a lot of traveling around New Zealand now, praise God. And so I thought it'd be cool to show you a couple of videos of people encountering God, because that's kind of what I want to talk about today, the power of an encounter. You see, the encounter is for us, but it's also for them. The encounter is for us, but it's also for them. There's a lost and dying world going to hell outside this tent, and they need you. Because the Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I remember a month ago I was preaching in Tauranga, and just preaching, having fun, and I did an altar call in 30 minutes. I'm going to do an altar call. If you're not right with God, today's your day. Don't walk out of here with the baggage you walked in with. The Bible says who the Son sets free is free indeed. You can be free. Oh, but no one knows. No, God knows. He sees it all. He sees your heart. He sees the anger. He sees the pain. He sees the addiction. He sees it all. And he wants to lift those burdens off you. But pride will keep you in your seat. See, if an archangel can get kicked out of heaven because of pride, what on earth could pride do in the heart of a lukewarm Christian? It's dangerous, man. So I gave this altar call, and people start responding, and I saw this beautiful elderly lady, and she was walking up to the altar, and her whole body was shaking. I thought, man, that's cool. And she was crying. She was having an encounter. You see, the whole time she walked into the church, she was a lady that doesn't go to church. She walks into the church building, she just starts shaking. What's this all about? She just starts shaking. God's all over her. Because he's alive from the dead, you see. He's not just a name in a book. He is alive. God's all over her. And then she comes and gives her life to Jesus. How amazing is that? Check this first video out.
Hey guys, Daz here. I'm here with Carol. Now, Carol responded to the gospel today. Check out her story. What was going on?
I came in with Casey, sat down, and I started to shake. Literally, the whole body.
And that's not normal?
That's not normal for me. And I've been crying the whole time. That is not me, because I don't show emotion.
Wow.
So I have done the shake, the cry, the still crying. And all I want to do is learn.
Awesome. She knelt up the front of the church and gave her life to Jesus. It was so beautiful, so powerful. What a beautiful day for you. Father, we just pray for more of your goodness and your kindness. Just keep showing her how much you love her in your precious name. Amen and amen.
How beautiful is that? So there must be an elderly Holy Spirit, eh? So then I was preaching at Pastor Andrew Parrington's church in Rotorua last weekend, Living Well, great church, had a blast, it was amazing. And on the Sunday night, this mum came up to me and she said, "Oh, I'd like you to meet my daughter." I said, "Oh, cool." And she said, "She's got a story she'd love to tell you." And I said, "Oh, awesome." So I went and met the daughter. Check this out.
My name is Nikki Karaitiana. So 3 years ago, when I was 12, there was a tent meeting here in Rotorua, which was where I first heard Daz Chittle speak. So me and my family had been going to church for 6 months prior to the tent meeting, and my parents had already given their hearts to the Lord, but I hadn't yet. I was still doubtful that he existed until the night of the tent meeting. So Daz had opened the altar for anyone who wanted to give their hearts to the Lord. And my heart started pumping out of my chest and I felt like I was just on fire. I knew I had to stand up and give my heart to the Lord. And so I did. And as soon as I stood up, tears started flowing from my eyes. And I just knew that that was an encounter with God that I couldn't deny. And ever since that day, my life has changed for the better. So fast forward 3 years, I'm a high school student at Rotorua Girls High School. And I've started a prayer group at my school for girls to come together and pray for our school. And I've also started a life group at lunchtimes for Christians to come together and grow in God. And also for non-Christians to come and learn about the love God has for them. And this is all from one encounter I had with God. And if you haven't heard Daz Chittle speak before, your world's about to get rocked.
I paid her to say that, Ian, but... Isn't that interesting? You see, there was one beautiful elderly lady who had an encounter with God. And then there's one 12-year-old young girl that had an encounter with God. That's the same God. There's no junior Holy Ghost. There's no elderly Holy Ghost. There's one Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost that's in them, that's in me, that's in you. The same Holy Ghost that is in Wigglesworth, was in Wigglesworth, is in you. And he wants out. He wants out. He wants you to shine Jesus wherever you go. Do you know the job of the Holy Ghost, well, I think, is to point you to Jesus. This whole gig is all about Jesus. Our whole Christian walk is all about Jesus. You see, we don't just talk about Jesus at Easter. Or maybe we'll touch on him in communion. The whole gig is all about Jesus. He really did get torn apart on a cross for you, as you, because he loves you. He's amazing. If you don't know him in here today, in 24 minutes, you're going to have an opportunity. That's pretty cool. I remember I got back from a trip and I got my beautiful wife and four kids, and one of my kids, See, we've got four kids, but Breezy sometimes tells a friend she has five kids. It's only four. Hey, Benj. And one of my kids, one of my wee kids said, hey, Dad, can we play Xbox? And I said, oh, okay. So we start playing Xbox, and we're playing this game. It's super fun. And I was just watching, and the wee fingers are going, and the wee body's going, and she's so into it. And then I looked down, and I realized that the controller she was playing with wasn't even on. And God spoke to me in that moment. He said, so many of my people, so many of the body of Christ, they think they're in the game, but they're not actually playing at all. You see, it's not about church attendance. So when you stand before Jesus on that day, and we're all going to stand before him, he's not going to have a clipboard and go, oh, yep, 17th of March, yes, 24th of May, yes. He's not going to do that. It's not about going to a church. It's about being a church. Understanding that God lives in you. I'm only 10 minutes in and I'm making the kids cry. I need to tone it down. Sorry, Ruth. You are the church. God now doesn't dwell in a lovely gold box. He dwells in you. Wonder why he dwells in you? Because he loves you. He wants to dwell in you. And he wants to use you to impact the world around you. Because Wes and Janet are watching, we're going to do a Bible verse today. So if you've got your Bibles, maybe Wes and Janet, you'd like to open yours. Please open them to Matthew 10, verses 7. And it says this: as they go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Might have got that wrong. Sorry, I might do that again. Says this, verse 7. As the evangelists go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. No, not sure. No, sorry. Try it again. Verse 7, we'll start with that, Matthew 10. As people in full-time ministry go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Doesn't say that. This is what it says, as you go. So last night, preparing for this, I did an intense word study, got into the Greek and the Hebrew, and what I've come up with is you actually means you. You means you. So Jesus is actually telling you to go. Isn't that awesome? So when we go, what do? Well, he actually tells us we heal the sick. The Bible says, lay your hands upon the sick, they may recover. No, it doesn't. It says, lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. It says to raise the dead. Praise God, it's time to raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy and drive out demons. You know, there's so many Christians that don't even believe demons are real. It's because they're full of them. Serious. Mate, I can say this because I travel a lot. I go into so many different churches. I honestly believe there's more devils in churches than what there is in pubs. Mate, we've got to preach the gospel, and it doesn't matter how people feel. It's not about feelings. It's not about feeling comfortable. If you are supposed to go to church to feel comfortable, you don't need the comforter. People are going to hell today. Today. They'll take their last breath on planet Earth, and they'll spend their first night in hell. You see, that's not confrontational preaching. That's the truth. So if you have friends and family that currently don't know Jesus, if they die, where do you think they're going to go? I went out for a meal with this dude on the Sunshine Coast a couple of weeks ago and just wanted to encourage him. And he said something that rocked me, man. He said, well, you know what, Daz, I'm not actually walking with God at the moment, but I know I'll go to heaven. bro, you're delusional. I nearly choked. That is such a lie from the pit of hell. Isn't it interesting that the devil is called the father of lies? The father of lies. He comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. This young guy is living this life, holding the devil with that hand, trying to hold God with the other hand, and thinking everything's going to be sweet. If your heart is not white hot, Houston, we have a problem. It's an all or nothing gospel. You're in or you're out. You're gathering or you're scattering. If you are lukewarm, the Bible says, I'm not being mean, I'm not saying this, this is what the Bible says, you'll be vomited from his mouth. That's pretty full on. So then the end of verse 8, it says, freely you have received, freely give. And I think so often we can do the receiving part really well. Give me more, Jesus, more, I want more. And I think God's looking down going, whoa, hang on a minute. What are you actually doing with what I've already given you? Why are you always asking for more when you're not using what you've got? Because there's no degree of Holy Ghost. No degree. So my question today is, when you leave here, what are you going to do with Jesus? I've been working on this manual. We've got an evangelism manual out that I take churches through, and I want to upgrade it, even though it's only been out for a couple of months. Because with the outreaches and things that I'm involved with that I lead, there's one aspect to it that's been grieving my heart. And I see this wherever I go. Whatever group I'm with, I actually see this. This is a major problem in the body of Christ. And I want to share it with you this morning. This has got nothing to do with my notes or the message, actually. I just really feel like sharing this. I see too many people talking at people when they're sharing the gospel. And it's really ugly. It's actually really disrespectful to talk at someone. You see, I think it's amazing how God's given us two of these ones and only one of those ones. So we need to do more of these and less of this. I think if we, when we're talking with people, to people about the Lord, we need to listen. We need to be good listeners, because when we're listening to people, they feel engaged. They feel like, oh, wow, you're actually interested. You're not seeing me as a project. Because people aren't projects. They're people. They're not a number. They're not a post to put on Facebook. Oh, I led this dude to the... What? Really? Check your heart on that. We're supposed to be making him famous, not ourselves. You see, when you're listening to someone, they feel engaged. And when you're listening to someone, you can be listening to Father speak about them and then deliver the word of knowledge. Oh, well, but I'm not a prophet. Doesn't matter. Father would be a pretty average father if he didn't speak. I don't think the issue is Father speaking. I think the issue is us listening. I think so often we can be so busy talking to people, at people, that we're not even listening to God to hear what he's saying about them. It's such a nugget. It's such a key. And I'm going to put it in the training. I'm going to do a few different pages on it because it's an issue, man. Bold people that are out there sharing the gospel, listen to people. It's not all about you. Listen, listen, listen. And as you're listening to them, they feel engaged. They feel it's one human speaking to another human. Powerful. It's powerful. It's actually just common sense, really. But I see it too much. I actually see it. I'm in the malls with people and I see it and I go and interrupt and go, hey, hang on a minute. So what's happening in your world, bro? and I'll break the conversation, even though it's super awkward, because I want the person to have an opportunity to share their heart. So when you're talking to people, listen. So important to listen. I'm not being mean, I'm just keeping it real. I want you to be phenomenal soul winners. Best way you do that is listen. Listen to the Holy Ghost and listen to the people. So freely we have received, so freely give. In Luke 10, beginning of Luke 10, Jesus sends out the 144, which I think is very interesting. So he gets the 144 together, one big group, and he sends them out. But before he sends them out, he splits them up. And he says, hey guys, I just quickly want you to do this disc test, personality test, just so I can find out what your personality type is. And then I'm going to split you into two groups. And over here on the left is going to be the, what's that say? The introverts, right. That's right, that's what he did. So he gets them to do this test, and he goes, awesome. So you 72 introverts, you stay over there. You don't need to go out and preach. Prepare the way for me. You don't need to. You just stay there and intercede. You guys can worship and intercede for the what? For the extroverts. You see, you guys stay there, intercede, pray, worship for the extroverts that I'm sending out. I mean, that even sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? It has nothing to do with a personality test. It has nothing to do with a personality at all. He got 72 human beings together. They all had different personalities, different ages, different life experiences. He got them all together and sent them out. So why did he send them out? Because he's worthy. He's worthy. He is worthy to be talked about. He is worthy. That's why we share the gospel with people, because he's worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy for us to step into some awkward conversations and be bold for him. I believe as Christians, we need to learn how to do awkward well. It's kind of what we've signed up for. The Bible says, you will be hated for my name's sake. Who got hated this week? Praise God. Awesome. Mate, we need to give you crunchies. Because this is what we've signed up for. If everyone loves us, Houston, we've got a problem. I know even by preaching the way that I preached this morning, probably a quarter of the room now don't like me. I don't care. Honestly, I don't care. You need to read the Bible. You need to read this book. You see, you don't need to read more books about this book. You don't need more podcasts from your favorite preacher who kind of echoes what you think. You need to read this book. You need to sink your life into this book. This is the bread of life. Get to know the author of this book. So many people say to me, well, Daz, how do you hear from God? I don't hear from God. Do you read your Bible? Well, no, not really. Well, hello. It's the word of God. Sink your life into this. See how God sees you. You see, identity, that's the key. When we're out talking to people, if we don't know who we are, it's going to come across pretty average. If I go to Harvey Norman today and I want to buy a TV, and Mike that sells TVs, he's not there, he's on lunch, so Jeff comes over, and Jeff is an expert in washing machines. I go, Jeff, I like this TV, bro. Tell me about it, man. Oh, yeah, it's a good one. Well, how big is it? Well, it's 44, 46. Oh, no, I think that one's 50. Is that one 50? I think it might be 50. I'm going to stand there and go, bro, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. You'll see right through it. You can tell a fake a mile off. So when you're talking about Jesus, do you actually know Jesus? Are you actually in relationship with him? Because if you're not, people will see right through it. The Bible says the eyes are the windows to the soul. So when you're looking into people's eyes, do they see the Christ that's in you? Get to know the author of the book. Jesus sent out the 72. And he wants to send you out to be a bright light wherever you go. You know, you don't have to be like, it's probably best you don't do it like I do it. Just be you. God wants to use you as you. He wants you to share the gospel the way that he's created you, which every single person in this room, we're all different. For too many years, I was trying to be like him or her or that or this, and it just didn't work. I'd have these amazing catchphrase lines, and I'd forget half them. So I just come to a place where I realize it's better for me just to be me. Same with my preaching. I don't need to watch more videos on how to preach better. I just need to stand up and be authentic to what God has put on my heart. He nailed me, man, in the lockdown a year and a half ago. Just on older calls and things like that, just saying, hey, well, maybe this next season you could make some room for me. Although that's a really good idea. I've seen so many more people saved, set free, delivered by making room to let God be God. We actually don't need more preachers. We need Holy Ghost to come and invade our services. And tip the place upside down, 100%. Freely we receive his goodness and his kindness. He shows us who we are, whose we are, how much he loves us. Then we take that revelation to the world. Especially in this COVID season, man. We need to crush it. We need to stand against it. We don't need to be scared of it. This is the perfect time for the body of Christ to stand up and shine. You know what? We're not afraid. Amen. Not afraid. Greater is he who is in me. We can stand on scorpions and snakes and not be hurt. But you won't know that unless you read the Word of God. I was 5 years ago, I got invited to Ryan Harbonkey's school for the first time. Phenomenal. And CFAN in Christ for All Nations in Florida. I was very honored, and I thought I'd learn how to be a better evangelist. I mean, it's a school of evangelism. And I didn't learn anything about evangelism. As a matter of fact, they interviewed me on their TV thing, and they said, hey, so how have you found the school? And how have you found the speakers? And I said, oh, the school's amazing. I've been very underwhelmed with the speakers. We had Todd White, Daniel Kalender, Nathan Morris, Paula White, Jerry Hill, Eric Gilmore, Bart Bryan, Gehring. 16 phenomenal speakers. But I was so underwhelmed by the speakers because I was so overwhelmed by the Father. You see, he would just come into this room every day. He would just sweep in. And there'd be 100 evangelists on our face just weeping. Not because some famous dude's up there preaching, that God himself walked into the room. Powerful. So the whole week, God was just speaking to my heart on how much he loves me, that I'm a son. He doesn't call me a Christian. Isn't that cool? He doesn't call you a Christian. He looks down and calls you sons and daughters. He calls you by name. That's worth flying to Florida, Flora, I can tell you that. And then on the Friday night, all the speakers come together and they pray for all the students. It's kind of the grand finale of the school. Now, I've been to the school 4 times now, twice as a student and twice leading the outreach. And every Friday night is wild. Like, seriously, crazy wild. And I was standing in the... just on a line like this, they had lines on the carpet, and I'm just standing there waiting for the speakers to come in. Roy Fields was worship leading, and he said, the speakers are just about to come in. I thought, oh, cool, awesome. And there was an American evangelist next to me, Jesse, and he turned to me and he said, Daz, it's an honor to die next year tonight. Flip. Want to die? What are you on about? Shabba-ba-ba-ba. And then I started thinking about what he was saying, and I was thinking, actually, that's where it's at. We need to die. We increase, decrease, and he increases. No longer I that live. It's in the Bible. And I started thinking, wow. And as I started thinking, it's time to die tonight. I start thinking this. I physically felt. I didn't think this. I felt this. I started feeling a rubbing on my chest. I felt it. Didn't think it. Felt it. And it just, like, I've probably felt God in 25 years, maybe five times. I'm not that, like, people go up for prayer lines. Everyone falls over except me. It's like, oh. It's just, and I won't do courtesy drops ever. Just won't do it. Goes everything against, I believe it. Anyway, so I'm feeling this rubbing, this warmth that's so beautiful. And then he showed me a picture of this beautiful little lamb. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This beautiful little lamb was gently licking my chest. And I just fell to my knees. It was an encounter that changed my life. And I fall to my knees. This beautiful little lamb is just licking my chest. It was beautiful. You see, at that point, I didn't care what speaker was going to come and lay their hands on me. I honestly couldn't give a rip. Because I was having an encounter with God. With God. And as I'm on my knees just weeping and he's just loving on me, he's just showing me how much he loves me. I saw this lion's paw with these big claws come across my chest. And it went from one side of my chest to the other. And it ripped my chest open. I went, I could feel the bones breaking. It was intense, man. I'm screaming out. I was having an encounter with God. And then that paw came into my chest and ripped my heart out. And he said, this is now mine. You see, that moment changed my life. You see, Maddie Russell and I, we flew over there together. We were preaching on planes. We were preaching in the malls. We actually jumped into a cab in LA. We had like a 10-hour layover. And we jumped in a cab and said to the cabbie, take us to the heaviest street in LA. We want to preach Jesus. He go, are you serious? Yeah, we're serious. We were preaching everywhere on the way over. On the way home, after that night, I had my hoodie up in the plane. I was just weeping the whole way home. I couldn't talk to anyone. Flight attendants were saying, sir, are you okay? And I go, oh my God, Jesus took my heart. He took my heart. Okay. Let's watch this one. It's a bit unstable. Because I had such an encounter with God. And it wasn't that I was home. It wasn't until I was home for about 3 days. I went down to Amberley Beach to check the surf. And I was still rocked. And as I pull into the car park, my number plate used to be preacher. These guys, surfers, started mocking me. So I walked over to them. And as I was leaning in on one of them to grab his ears, I was thinking, this might not go so good. And I grabbed his ears like this. And as I grabbed his ears, he burst into tears in front of his friends. He was a prodigal, away from God. And I knew that encounter on the beach started 3 days earlier in Florida. Hallelujah. Yeah. And then I was, a few months later, I was preaching at a youth conference up in Hamilton. And I did the Saturday night, and I'd finish up, and I'm gathering my gear, and this youth pastor with one of her youth comes up to me. She goes, hey, Daz, this is so-and-so. She's drawing you a picture. I said, oh, cool. What's the picture? And she said, oh, here, would you like to see it? And I said, yeah, I'd really love to see it. Show me the picture. She said, oh, but I don't think you'll like it. Oh, no, I probably will. Show me your picture. She didn't want to show me the picture. She was embarrassed. And I said, please show me the picture. And she said, oh, but I don't think you'll like it. And I'm embarrassed now. And I said, for goodness sake, show me the picture. I said, did God speak to you when you were drawing the picture? And she goes, yeah. I said, show me the picture. And this is what she drew. He's got my heart. But he also wants yours. You see, that encounter changed my life. Because when you know that God got your heart, you don't need the praises of people. When you put a post up on Facebook about hell, you know 80% of Christians that are going to see it are going, oh, there he goes again. Who cares? Because what if we live our life out for an audience of one? What if we didn't worry about what people thought? What if we realized that, hey, he's got my heart, he loves me, and he wants me to speak truth in season and out of season, whether the time is right or not. So when the Lord was speaking to me in lockdown about altar calls like I'm about to do, he was very strong with me. He showed me a couple of altar calls where a lot of people responded. One of them, over 800 people responded. I was going, wasn't that awesome, God? He goes, yeah, no, that was really good. Would have been way better if you'd let me do it. It's embarrassing. See, you don't need me today to be your echo. You don't need to echo a prayer from me. If you need to get right with God, we don't need emotional music. We don't need to dim the lights. This is just my lane, okay? Every minister does it different, praise God, but this is my conviction. You see, the moment that I stop preaching, which is now, my ministry part of the morning is over. So I can go home happy now, whether the whole church responds or no one responds. Because wouldn't it be horrible if success of a message was how many people responded? That's called pride, man. Because you've got free will. You have free will. And there's people in this room and you're a million miles away from God, even though you put the Sunday church face on, he knows your heart. So what are you going to do with Jesus? See, if I could, I'd put barbed wire across this altar and say, if you want him, come and get him. Show him you're serious. Because we're not playing games. He said to go and make disciples, not some hand up. So for the next minute, if you need to get right with God, I want you to walk down here right now and we'll minister with you today. If you need to give your life to Jesus. Oh, this is not normally how we do it. So, today is your day. Well, it's going to be scary. Yeah. Good. Face the fear. Amen, buddy. Face the fear. You may be a leader in this church, and your lifestyle may not back up your actual belief. God bless you, bro. Actually, I feel God all over that. There's a leader in this church, and you need to get right with God. There is a leader at Living Waters Christian Center today, and you need to get right with God. You see, if sin wasn't an issue, there was no need for a savior. Who are you? Divorce the fear, the pride. Come and get free. I believe actually as you stand, the chains that have been holding you back will break. It's all about an audience of one. Doing this for an audience of one. Doing this for King Jesus. The Bible says, who the Son? That's the Son of God. That's the Lamb that was slain. That's Jesus we're talking about. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. This morning you're saying, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all in. And if fear or pride. If you're sitting in your seat going, I need to be up there, but I'm just too scared. But I've been going to this church for 20 years. Come and get free. Just divorce the fear this morning. Who cares what anyone thinks? Do it for an audience of one. Because you're going to stand before him and give an account for your life. Five. Four. Three. Two. Leader, I encourage you to push forward this morning. I felt God on that. You've got an opportunity to be so free. No more shackles, no more chains. You can be so free. So free. Two. Hey, bro. One. Okay, what we're going to do, we're going to kneel down before our King. Just kneel down. And the Bible says this. It's not too late either, sir. It's not too late. The Bible says this. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God rose Jesus up from the dead. So we confess with our mouth. So there is a prayer required. Is it a sinner's prayer? Well, I don't know. It's not in the Bible, sinner's prayer. But what I do know, a prayer is required. But the prayer echoes what's happening in your heart. Not what's happening in my mind. You don't need me to go say this, say this, say this, say this, say this. And God really challenged me on this hardcore because I had such an awesome prayer I could lead you guys through. It was solid, man. It was like poet stuff. But it's about your heart. So in your own words on this altar this morning, I would just want you to say, Jesus, forgive me. In your own words. Thank him for dying on the cross. Thank the Father for raising the Son up. In your own words. Tell him how much you love him. Ask him to forgive you for everything. Everything you've done. He chucks it from the east to the west. And now to come and live in you. You're opening the door. The Bible says he stands at the door and knocks. He doesn't push his way in. By you getting up this morning, you've got off the couch, you've walked to the front door and you've opened that thing. Say, Jesus, come in. Come in. Come and live in me. Today I'm all in. This is it, man. This is it. Hey, this is it. Today you're all in. This is it. No more turning back. This is it. You're all in. And if you don't want to give him your life, how tragic would it be to give Jesus your heart when he died for your life? If you're not prepared to give him your life, I need you to go and sit back down right now. Because we're not playing games. If you're not prepared to hand your whole life over and say, Jesus, here I am, use me to tip this world upside down, go and sit back down. And just tell him, here I am, Lord. Send me. Beautiful. Here I am, send me. Do you say, here I am, Lord, send me? He sends me around the world, not because I'm a blooming evangelist, because I said, here I am, Lord, with all my stuff, my issues. Here I am. I want to make you famous, so send me. He's not waiting for you to clean yourself up and come to him. He'll use you just the way you are. Here I am, Lord, send me. And he will use you powerfully, like that song that we sung this morning. Actually, could we sing this song over these guys? That would be powerful. You see, you need to write this day in your diaries, in your Bibles. You need to remember this day, because this is the day that everything changed. This is the day when freedom entered your life. And now you're free. No more shackles, no more chains. So if we could have everyone in the congregation to stand up. And what I want to do, church is family, yeah? I want the elders and the leaders in this church to come and stand with these beautiful ones on the altar. And I want you to sing over them and pray for them and prophesy over them this morning. So come. If you're a leader in this church, come.
Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. But he made something beautiful out of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something, yes he did, beautiful out of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful out of my life. something beautiful out of my life. He made something beautiful out of my life.
Lord, I want to thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for every single person on this altar. Lord, I pray just like if you got hit by a Mack truck, you'd come up a bit different. I pray today that every single person on this altar, as they stand to their feet, they'll be different. They'll be different. Lord, I thank you that your word says that you are the Prince of Peace, the Father to the fatherless. Lord, I thank you for this church, and we pray for Wes and Janet and Ozzy. Father, I just pray for awesome family time. Time just to pour in and celebrate the wee miracle that they'll be cuddling and smooching. In your precious name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So today is a great opportunity to go and share the gospel. Oh, good. Three of you thought that was a good idea. So do we need to do another meeting?
Yes.
Today is a great opportunity to go and share the gospel. Today. Not tomorrow, but today. I challenge every single one in the room today to share with someone. Whether it's a phone call, a face-to-face in a shop, an email. Share Jesus, the glorious gospel. Share it with someone today. You're no longer a slave to fear. Isn't that amazing? We sing that a lot. Perhaps we need to live it. No longer a slave to fear. Go and tip Christchurch upside down.